The talk you're about to listen to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org.
You should know that anything you hear tonight, like good idea-wise, 99% of it is not mine. There is a book, it sounds so nerdy, it's called Systematic Theology, it's by a guy named Wayne Grudem. And chapter 16, Wayne Grudem, by the way, nice name. And chapter 16 is called God's Providence, and it is the most profound extra-biblical reading I have ever done. It will flip your life on its head and kick you in the teeth. So, if you want to hear a better version of what it is I'm going to talk about tonight, just read the book. It's absolutely amazing. I loved it so much, I'm going to rip it off and teach it tonight. So, let's start by praying, because I need it. I need it bad. God, I am just freaking empty. It has been a week, and it's just been a trying week, and you know that. But I think probably in light of what I'm talking about tonight, my emptiness is good. I ask that you would just thunder in my emptiness. Father, whatever your will is for this talk, let it be done. But just help me to forget everything that I'm thinking about right now and just paint your glory for these people that are listening. We love you. Amen. Start with scripture. Psalm 8. O Lord, O Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky shows his handiwork. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. He is the King of glory. Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Psalm 48, like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Psalm 66, shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name and make praise glorious to him. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. All the earth bows down to you and they sing praise to you. Come and see what God has done and how awesome his works in man's behalf. Now, what am I trying to drive home here? It's a deep, heinously deep, frighteningly complex, theological, doctrinal, foundational truth. It's true. God is a huge flaming deal. Huge, huge freaking deal. And the deal is, God is God and we as men are not. And that is not something that we dwell on as often as we should. By the way, I'm going to fall on these cords tonight and I'm going to trip. It's going to be embarrassing. So just laugh with me when that happens. God is a huge deal. Men and women and mankind, we all think that we're in control, that we direct our paths in this life and in this world, that we are the source of our decisions and our actions. And the Bible, one of the little secrets of Christianity that you only find out if you'll study the voice of Scripture, is that the Bible says the absolute opposite. And so tonight, I want to glorify God and I want to enjoy God by telling you about how God is. So reason number one, that God is a big freaking deal, is because he's in control of the... Can we even make this work here? Bowman, can you do that for me there, buddy? There we go. He's in control of the entire physical universe and every single thing and every single process in it. Scriptural evidence. There we go. Psalm 148:8. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Psalm 135, whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and in all the deeps. He it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. Psalm 104:14, you cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he might bring forth food from the earth. New Testament examples. Matthew 5:45. For he, God, makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good. His sun. I love that. He makes his sun and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. Not one little sparrow in the entire history of this planet has fallen dead to the ground apart from God willing it to do so. Now, some of you might be saying, now, you know, look at these verses. The one that we looked at, you know, causing grass to grow to feed animals or for man to cultivate plants. You might say, you know, we know scientific processes X, Y, and Z and proofs of blah, da, 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 da. I'm going to answer that criticism in a second by telling you that God upholds scientific law just like everything else. But before I do that, I want to talk to you about a guy, his stories in the Old Testament, who thought he had, as we are wont to do in this life, especially in this age, he thought that he had a better handle on how this world worked than God, and he told him so. And this was God's response. The guy's name, I gotta be careful, I don't mix my papers up here. That guy's name was Job. Chapter 38 of Job to the end is one of the coolest sections of the Bible. You can read with me. I got three little passages from chapter 38. Verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said to him, "Who is this that darkens counsel without words of knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you will answer me." So you get this? Job has challenged God. Are you really in control? Do you really know what you're doing on this planet? Do you really make the grass grow? Because it doesn't seem like you've got your act together. And this is how God answers him. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut the sea with doors when it burst forth from the deep? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, 'Thus far you will come, but no further. Here your proud waves must stop.' Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this. Where is the dwelling place of light, and where is the place of darkness, that you may take it to its territory and discern the paths to its home? Do you know, because you were born then, or the number of your days is great?" By the way, this is the closest to sarcastic you'll ever hear God. "Have you entered the storehouses of snow, or have you seen the storehouses of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? What is the way to the place where light is distributed, to where the east wind is scattered upon the earth? Who has cleft for the torrents of rain, a way for the thunderbolt?" You see, God, here, let me get my second page here. I want all of Job here. "Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that a flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightning bolts that they may go and say to you, 'Here we are'? Who has put wisdom into the innerward parts of man or given understanding to the mind? God is God, and there is none like him. Get it into your head. Live it, breathe it, sleep it, drink it, eat it, think it, love it. God is God, and there is none like him." And Henderson gave a talk earlier this year about creation. Not only did God create it, but what we're going to talk about tonight is that God has borne along his creation ever since, moment by moment. So the second reason that God is a huge freaking deal is he is in control of all of life and everything in it and its ongoingness and its continuation and everything that takes place during it. I have a scriptural backing for that statement. And I have it on PowerPoint. Sweet. All right. Hebrews 1:3. "He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power." Now, the reason "holds" is highlighted there is you can do a word study on any word in the Bible. The Bible was originally written in Greek, and you can find out what word it was used in the original language, and you can study what that word actually meant. And the word "upholds" means to continually carry or bear along moment by moment. It's the same word in the New Testament that was used whenever the men bore the paralytic to the house where Jesus was preaching that he might be healed. Moment by moment, carried along and borne along. He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Do you understand the implications for this verse? I mean, do you think for half a second about what this verse is saying? That moment by moment, the universe and everything in it, since the universe started until the universe will end, before that and beyond that, all of everything is upheld and carried along and borne along by Christ by the word of his power. Everything in all of history, everything in this room that you can see, yourself. Do you realize this means that if Christ ceased to uphold the universe by the word of his power for one moment, every single thing in creation except the triune Godhead would vanish in an instant? Do you realize that? Do you realize that this creation is held and borne along moment by moment? Unless you think I made up what I just said, Job 34:14-15. If he should set his heart to it and gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together and man would return to dust. The reason you are breathing is because God is keeping you breathing. Let's go deeper. Colossians 1:15-17. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things hold together. What is all things? Everything that was listed in verse 16, which is just everything that was created. Heaven, earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, and authorities. Again, do you understand? This paper, all things are held together by Jesus Christ. Everything in creation. And everything is upheld by the word of his power, the universe. The only reason that this paper is paper and stays paper moment by moment is because Jesus Christ is keeping it paper. Do you realize? I'm not kidding. If you study the scripture for what it says and you take the Bible at face value, then the only reason this is paper and it doesn't turn into water and run out of my hand or turn into grass and start growing or vanish altogether is because Jesus Christ, by the word of his power, is keeping it paper. Doesn't that blow your mind? But that's what the Bible says. That's the bigness of God. And we overlook it so often in this man-centered universe where we think that we are the end-all be-all of creation. And yet everything, the seat underneath you, the reason it exists moment by moment. Look down at your legs. The molecules that make up your legs, the atoms and subatomic particles that are knit together into molecules, that are knit together into tissues and fibers and organs. The reason that your legs stay legs and don't turn into chickens and fly away or disappear is because Jesus Christ is keeping them legs and attached to your body. We're talking about God, people. We talk about God in a song, or we sing, you're my all in all, and we don't think about the theology behind that. You got legs. They're not chickens, because God is God. And it sounds humorous, but think about it. When you go home tonight, think about the fact that Jesus Christ is upholding all things by the word of his power. I think we can even go deeper. Where are we at here? Okay, this is what I told you I wanted to talk about. This is providence. That God created, but he also continually directs and upholds every reality in the universe. More. What do we got? Acts 17:24-28. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands. That's a Bible way of saying he doesn't need people. Do you realize that? I think Willard talked on that earlier this year. He doesn't need us for him to be great. He is self-sufficiently awesome. All right. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling places, that they should seek God and in hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. The only reason that your heart is beating as you listen to me speak is because Jesus Christ is making it beat, beat by beat by beat. It will not beat one beat longer than it's supposed to, and it will not stop beating one beat before it's supposed to stop. You're invincible as long as you're alive. Let's do more. Nehemiah 9:6, you are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all, and the host of heaven worships you. Everything. So your heart, as you listen to me speak, is beating because Jesus is upholding it. But guess what? Same with every bird and bat above us and every bug in the ground underneath. I don't know if bugs have hearts, but whatever makes them do their thing. God is doing that moment by moment. Imagine that. The God that, God, we think of Noah and animals lining up to go into the ark and stuff. But every potato bug under this building is receiving Jesus' full-on, God-big, laser-focused attention and keeping it alive. That is a God that I can worship forever. Let's go more. I think we got more here. All right. So some of you are saying, Greg, not all things. All things? I mean, think of the implications of what I'm saying. All things, Greg? Or is it some things? Ephesians 1:11. By the way, the first chapter of Ephesians is gold. Just bathe in it. Just go home and read it. It's wonderful. Ephesians 1:11. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined... I need water. After having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. All things according to the workings of his will. All right. All things, not some things. All of you, not some of you. All of what you do, are, think, choose, become, believe, not some of that. Let's look at more scripture that speaks to God's directing of creation. What about nations? What about powers? What about kings, political parties, elections? Let's address it. Job 12:23. He makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and guides them. Psalms 22:28. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. Acts 17:26, again. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. Daniel 4:34-35. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, you and me and everybody, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? The will of the infinite God is what directs this world and upholds it moment by moment. One of the hardest places for us to accept God's providential direction of absolutely everything in creation is in our own lives. Yours and my individual lives and all the things that make that up. Consider this verse with me, though. Are not two sparrows sold for... This is your, feel-good verse before we plunge into this, so soak it up. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered, so don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. And here's something you forget. Sparrows are one of God's unique creations. God made sparrows because they reflect some aspect of him that couldn't be expressed any other way. It's the same thing with every single thing in creation. So God loves his sparrows. But don't worry, you're worth more than many of them. What you need to, and I need to catch up on my notes here. You're worth more than many of them. So don't freak out about where we're about to go because God cares about you. Consider God's direction in our daily lives and activities, in ordinary occurrences. Psalm 104:14. Again, it's like for the 30th time tonight. You, God, cause the grass to grow for livestock and plants for man to cultivate. Matthew 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, and by the way, I'm not speaking in generalities or vagaries tonight. Take everything I say at face value. God causes the grass to grow so that plants, so animals can eat it, and so we can grow it and be nourished. But, if you've been alive for 10 minutes, then your natural objection to that might be, well, Greg, we know that it's a scientific process. We know about germination and growth and spreading of seeds and photosynthesis, and it's just common sense. Dirt plus water plus air and light equals plants. Well, and seeds, too. What I'm telling you is that the reason that there are observable natural laws in the universe is because God created them and upholds them moment by moment, just like everything else. You would have nothing to study in your lab if Jesus, moment by moment, wasn't upholding scientific law just like everything in the entire universe. And so whenever we say, science has proved that we got this and this and this to make grass grow, the Bible says, no, God directs this. And that's why he can suspend scientific law anytime he wants. You ever read about a miracle? You ever witnessed a miracle or heard about one? They're his laws. Just like everything else, just like rocks and you and me and the walls of this place and air and gravity, God created and upholds it all. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. What about Matthew 6:11? Give us this day our daily bread. But you might say, Greg, you don't understand. I got a job. I'm a full-time student, but I got a job so that I can get money so that I can buy food. So God doesn't give me daily bread because I go out and I earn the cash to buy it. This is another example of God bringing about ends through ordinary means. You see what I'm saying? You might work to get the money to buy the food that you eat, but the Bible tells us to ask God for it and to thank him for it when we get it. Why? Because the only reason that the bread stays bread, just like your legs, just like the paper, is because God is keeping it bread. The only reason that you still have your job is because God directs you to have the job. The only reason that the bread got to the bread shelf or, you know, whatever bread's kept on is because God made plants grow, grains to harvest it and kept people alive to make that bread. No matter how ordinary the details of your lives, understand that they are part of the creation that God is holding together moment by moment, bearing along moment by moment, carrying, as it were, upholding by the word of his power this universe and everything in it. Isn't it ridiculous? But that's what the Bible teaches. We got more. What about our individual talents or abilities or our life situation? What do you have that you did not receive? Here we go. How about our individual actions, our beliefs, our thoughts, our convictions, our this? Just picking this thing up. Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and exist. Jeremiah 10:23. I know, O Lord, that a man's steps are not his own. It is not for a man to direct his steps. Another little word study, the reason it's in red. Steps refers to all your individual actions, decisions, and beliefs. That is what the author is talking about. The divinely inspired word of God says that this, what I'm doing right now, is directed by the God of the universe. That I actually have the full attention, providence, upholding, love, and direction of the God of the universe. There's another verse there, Proverbs 20:24. A man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way? And if God, okay, and God is not just the source, these individual actions that we're talking about, God is not just the source of your individual actions. Like some of you right now, as I'm looking to you, you shift your hand from, whoa. You shift your hand from resting like this to resting like that. But the Bible just said that Jesus is keeping you alive and holding you together and directing your steps to make your chin more comfortable in this instance. But you start to see that we don't want to stay in the vagueness of the biblical language and just gloss over these details when we read them in the Bible, that God is in fact God and a great deal more God-ish than we ever gave him credit for. God is not just directing what fills our days, but actually the number of our days too. Look at these verses. Job 14:5, his, man's, days are determined. The number of his months is with you, and his limits you have set so he cannot pass. Psalms 139:16, and your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Do you see what's going on? Just like we were talking, here, let me make sure I don't miss anything in my notes here. Okay, good. Just like we were talking about how your heart is beating. Beat, beat, beat. Feel it, feel it. Christ is keeping you alive. Whether you believe in him or not, your heartbeat is going on because of him. And he has ordained your days for you when they were not yet in existence. And he has set a limit on the number of your months so that you cannot pass that. He's actually ordained your life. You're invincible as long as you're alive. It's great news. Here's the thing, though. This moment by moment, remember that. That is the focus of what I'm trying to say tonight, that Christ upholds the universe by the word of his power. What is part of the universe? Anybody want to claim that they're not part of the universe? Does anybody know of anything that's not part of the universe? All of it is carried along by the word of Christ's power, being held together moment by moment because of him. And this bleeds very nicely into the third reason why God is a big freaking deal. And that is because he is in control of the entire course of history and every event in it from eternity past to eternity. Now your mind should just be spinning out with that one. Seriously. Think about what I'm saying. And yet there is a biblical defense for it. And that's why I'm presenting it to you tonight. And it is true. And it doesn't matter if you believe it or not, or whether you care or not. And you can't wait for me to get done talking about it or not. Jesus Christ upholds the world, the universe, by the word of his power. And all the entire course of history and every event in it, from eternity past to eternity, is upheld by him as well. Who's ready for the mind blow? God himself is eternal. Psalms 92, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. God himself is eternal, and eternity ago, he planned his exact creation and exactly how it would unfold right up to the end. Isaiah 46, 9, 10. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Declaring the end from the beginning, the things not yet done from ancient times, which means in the last minute, your heart is beat 60 to 80 times probably. Do you see what this is saying? That eternity ago, the truth of the Bible is that eternity ago, before he made the stars and the earth, hit each one of you. There's like, what, 200 people in this room? And your heart is beat 60 to 80 times in the last minute? Each individual little thud, 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 thud was eternally decreed to happen in February of 2008 from the time of 7:36 p.m. to 7:37. That is the limitless, endless Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, who was and who is and who will be, the Almighty, declaring the beginning from the end. All in all, moment by moment, from eternity past to eternity, upholding and holding together and carrying along and directing the sum total of creation. This is everything that I've said tonight is summed up very nicely in part of a sermon from my favorite pastor. And so rather than trying to indirectly rip it off like I have the lesson tonight, I'm just going to read it. We must acknowledge the supremacy of God, the supremacy of his eternality, that makes the mind of man explode with the unsearchable thought that God never had a beginning, but simply always was sheer, absolute reality, while all the universe is fragile, contingent, like a shadow by comparison to his all-defining, ever-existing substance. The supremacy of his knowledge that makes the Library of Congress look like a matchbox and all the information on the internet look like a little 1940s almanac, or a quantum physics and everything that Stephen Hawking ever dreamed look like a first grade reader. The supremacy of his wisdom, that he has never been perplexed by any complication and can never be counseled by the wisest of men. The supremacy of his authority over heaven and earth and hell, without whose permission no man and no demon can move one inch. Who changes times and seasons, removes kings and sets up kings, does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. The supremacy of his providence, without which not a single bird falls to the ground in the furthest reaches of the Amazon rainforest, or a single hair on any human head that has ever existed turns black or white. the supremacy of his word that moment by moment upholds the universe and holds into being all molecules and atoms and subatomic worlds that we haven't even dreamed of discovering yet. The supremacy of his trustworthiness to never break his word or let one promise fall to the ground. The supremacy of his justice to render due in due time all moral accounts in the universe settled, either on the cross or in hell. The supremacy of his patience to endure our dullness for decade after decade and to hold back his final judgment on this land and world that many might repent. The supremacy of his love that willingly dies for us even while we were sinners and frees us for ever increasing joy of making much of him. The supremacy of his own inexhaustible gladness and the fellowship of the Trinity, the infinite power and energy that gave rise to the universe and will one day be the inheritance of every struggling saint. And if he would grant us to know him like this, it would be but the outskirts of his supremacy. Time would fail to speak of the supremacy of his severity and his invincibility and dignity and simplicity and complexity and resoluteness and calmness and depth and courage. If there is anything admirable, if there is anything worthy of praise anywhere in the universe, it is summed up supremely in God. He is supreme in every admirable way over everything, over galaxies in the endless reaches of space, over the earth, from the top of Mount Everest, 29,000 feet up, to the bottom of the Mariana Trench in the Pacific Ocean, 36,000 feet down. He's supreme over all plants and animals, from the peaceful blue whale to the microscopic killer virus, over all weather and movements of the earth, hurricanes, tornadoes, monsoons, earthquakes, avalanches, floods, snow, rain, and sleet, over all chemical processes that heal and destroy, cancer, AIDS, malaria, flu, and all the workings of antibiotics and a million healing medicines. He is supreme over all countries and governments and armies and over all politics and elections, over all media and news and entertainment and sports and leisure, over all education and universities and scholarship and science and research, over all business and finance and industry and manufacturing and transportation and over the internet and over all information systems. As Abraham Kuyper famously said, there is not one square inch of the whole domain of human existence over which the Lord does not cry, mine. This is God. This is who I am presenting to you tonight that I am awfully worked up over right now, because he is the beginning and end, who declares the end from the beginning, the Alpha and Omega, God Almighty, that you can fall on your face and worship, that you can crawl to in your darkest times, that you can rejoice with, that you can trust, that died to keep you safe and rose to love you for eternity. This is the God that 3 million bazillion years from now, you will still be finding new and amazing things out about and be driven to worship him. This is the God of the Bible, not a small God, not a weak God, not a God contingent upon man. This is the Lord. And it is awfully important that you see that. And I'm sorry I get so worked up, because it's probably freaked half you out, but it's just deep. This is deep. And there are a million implications to what I've said, and I am not going to resolve any of them, so run to your Bible study leaders and make their lives miserable. But I want to talk about one. Everybody loves me right now. All right. I want to talk about one implication of what we talked about tonight, and that is your Christian life. You see, if you're a believer, you need to understand that God chose you. You didn't choose him. Moment by moment, he knits the atoms of your body together. The only reason your heart beats is because he's keeping it beating. So no more. Let's have no more talk of the moment that I decided to accept Christ. But let's talk about the moment that God opened your eyes to actually see that he was real, to actually understand how much he loved you, to actually understand how much you need him. Let's talk about the moment that God rescued you or saved you, not the moment that you made a choice to choose him. If you have difficulties with that, if the scripture tonight wasn't enough for that, these are some great verses for you to look at. Start there. If anybody, I don't know if people take notes, that's kind of a nerdy thing to do. But if you If that's an idea you struggle with, just start there. But there, I promise you, there is joy to find. There is joy to find in this doctrine. Now, the really cool part, I don't want to dwell on that too long. Give me black. There we go. The really cool part pertains to the non-believers in the room. You see, everything that we've talked about tonight bears evidence to the fact that God does things purposefully. The God that, whether you believe in him or not, the God of this world is keeping your heart beating moment by moment as you sit here. He does things purposefully. All of human history has unfolded the way that he wanted it to unfold because of one great purpose, the trumpeting of his glory, and a billion zillion smaller purposes, the properties and lives and carryings on of all of you and everything else in creation. With an infinite God, there is no such thing as chance. You get that? With an infinite God, there's no such thing as chance. So if you are sitting here tonight and you're not a believer, it's no accident. You can actually... Oh, sorry, Boma. Can you put that back for me, buddy? Thank you. If you're sitting here tonight, it is no accident. Consider the providential God that we've discussed tonight. And understand that one of the reasons, this is really cool, and you can defend this biblically, one of the reasons that world history played out the way it did, one of the reasons that God unfolded the human race the way he did, one of the reasons that he directed your ancestors to immigrate to this country, one of the reasons that he directed your great-great-great-great-granddad to fall in love with your great-great-great-great-grandmom, one of the reasons they wanted to start making babies like crazy, one of the reasons he blessed them with children, one of the reasons that he directed your family lines down through the ages and across the country the way he did, right to your mom and dad, one of the reasons that he kept you safe as a little unborn child in your mom's belly through birth and toddlerhood, and then pick your individual story, whatever pertains to your life, but one of the reasons that your dad, one of the reasons that God gave your dad that job transfer, and one of the reasons that he directed you to that one boy or girl in your new school on your first day that became your best friend. And one of the reasons that he directed your best friend to be gung-ho on Penn State. And one of the reasons that you bought it and you decided to come here. One of the reasons that your SAT scores were what they were and he drove you through the process of getting here. One of the reasons that he has kept your heart beating and your brain waving since you came to Happy Valley was to get your butt in that seat tonight. And the question is, why? Why? And I don't know. Could be a million things. But one of the reasons could be because you're going to hear the gospel tonight. I promise you. I got really worked up and I was shouting and everything. And so you probably, maybe some of you don't want to listen to me, but find someone that you trust, that you will believe. But I promise you that everything I'm about to say is true. That God is real. The providential, directing, all-powerful God of the world. He's real, and he's in this room tonight. He loves you. I promise you that's true. I also promise you that you and I are sinners, that we've done at least one thing wrong in our lives. Anybody want to make a claim to the other? So we've all done at least one thing wrong in our lives, and that means that we're sinners. God has a standard of perfect holiness. If you want to go to heaven when you die to be with him, you have to be perfectly holy. And all of us have goofed up at least once. And you cannot earn your way to heaven by doing good things. So unless something is to be done about the fact that you and I have done something wrong at some point in our lives, we can't go to heaven when we die. This is also true, that Jesus Christ was an actual man, a carpenter, that lived 2,000 years ago, that literally lived in Palestine. If you want, and you have money, I don't know how you have money when you're a college student, but you can buy a plane ticket to Israel and walk on the same ground that Jesus Christ himself walked on when he was on earth as a man. Pretty cool, huh? But in addition to being a real man, he was also the real Son of God. And he lived a perfect life and deserved to go to heaven when he died. He was the only one that met God's standard of perfect perfection. Perfect perfection. It's intelligent sounding. He was the only one that never sinned. And at the end of his life, deserving heaven, he allowed himself to be murdered and sent to hell so that when he rose from both, he could offer you this. If you can just admit your need for forgiveness and ask Christ to be the Lord of your life and ask him into your heart, then he will take the punishment that he already served and overlay yours and my guilty stance, which we have because we're sinners, kind of like a time already served, so that you can be with God in heaven forever when you die. It is one of the million trillion workings of the providential and all God of the world that you would be offered the gospel here tonight. And if you feel the nudge, don't let your head hit the pillow without talking to somebody that is already walking with the Lord that can pray with you. It is too important to ignore. And I got to tell you, I came to college and I thought this was all BS and I wanted nothing to do with it. But I took a good long look at it, and by the grace of God, he let me know him, let me know that he was real and that he loved me. And it is so sweet. It is so sweet and so free to be in the arms of the Lord that is directed all of time. There's one I want to end on, this poem. It's written about 400 years ago. Run, John, run. Run, Ben, run. Run, Greg, run. Run, Bowman, run. The law commands, but it gives me neither feet nor hands. Far better news the gospel brings, because it bids me fly and it gives me wings. If you'd pray with me again. Father, it's too big a deal to not think about it or talk about it anymore. You are God. You are God Almighty that upholds every single thing in creation, holds it together. You are the source of our life and our movement and our breath and everything. And you bear us along moment by moment in your grace and in your glory and in your love. Father, allow everybody that is one of your children tonight to see you as you have let us see you in the Bible. If it's for the first time, then walk them through the difficulties of this teaching. If they are, but open their eyes to the deep, crazy glory and majesty of who you really are. And Father, if there are people here listening that don't know you, I pray for them. I know you love them, Lord. Guide them through the process of seeing you and realizing that they need you. Father, you give our hearts wings and invite us to fly. Amen.
The talk you have just listened to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. Crew is a community where the gospel captures hearts, transforms lives, and launches men and women into a lifelong adventure with Jesus Christ. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org. That's PennStateCRU.org. This talk is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. You are free to copy and distribute this talk to others as long as you do not do it for commercial purposes or alter, transform, or build upon this talk in any way.